again, listeners and viewers, subscribers and newcomers alike, with you as always on Top Toes.
And I'm your girl, Annie, and you're listening to the Oh Those Toes podcast. I hope you knew that.
It should be written on your screen somewhere, but maybe you're not looking. Maybe this was just the next thing to roll up on your on your YouTube music feed. Welcome to the couple subscribers we now have on YouTube Music, the new podcast platform that replaces Google Podcasts.
I'm fucking all confused about all that, really. It's a fucking mess.
Yeah, I don't. With Google Podcasts, that makes a whole lot of sense. But what the heck? I got a notification, not as a podcaster, I got a notification as a person with a Google Music account, or pardon me, a Google Podcast account, and said, we're moving over to. And I'm like, okay, so now I got to figure out how we're moving over to. And we are.
So what does that mean for our listeners? What did they have to do different?
Well, they all would have got instructions on how to carry their subscriptions from their Google Music over to their YouTube Music, or from their Google Podcast to their YouTube Music accounts.
Is YouTube Music specifically subscription-based, or?
No, think of it as Google's answer to Spotify.
Okay, that doesn't clarify anything for me.
It's just a music and podcast platform. And
so now there's no like Google Podcasts at all. Now you're just going to YouTube Music.
I think it goes away
in
February officially, but yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome to the Oh Those Toes podcast.
So yes, welcome to any new or transitioned listeners. But before we go too crazy here, let's welcome, because we do have a guest, our first guest of 2024.
I am super excited about this, actually.
Guest by popular demand. I always love when that happens.
I know. And I also happen to really genuinely love and admire this person. So I'm really super excited.
And maybe the only guest that you and I have ever had on the show who we have met in person before they came on the show, both of us.
Right.
So without further ado, joining us tonight in the virtual studio all the way from Central Texas, which isn't too far from you, Soul Scream.
Hey. Yay!
How you guys?
Welcome, Soul Scream!
Thank you for having me.
I'm really, this isn't fluff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a genuine fan of yours. Did you know that? Do you know that? Have I made that clear? Do I fangirl enough over all of your stuff?
Well, you've been very sweet since we've known each other. So, but I appreciate that. Thank you for having me. And we always like seeing you and everything. And so, yeah, it's just an honor to be here. And thank you for asking me to come on.
It seems like it's a bit overdue, but you know, timing is everything.
I think it's worked out perfectly, because I think that Soul Scream has grown in like so many different ways, I think, over the last couple of years. I don't know, what do you think? Am I wrong, Soul Scream?
I'd like to think, I mean, definitely I've evolved a lot in such a short time. So that's pretty accurate. I think now I've got my head on a little straighter than at any other point. So I think now doing our interview, or the first interview, is a good point, as opposed to had we done it earlier.
It's hard for me to judge, because I've been bouncing between social media platforms, but definitely I've seen you're hitting my Twitter feed a lot harder than you ever were, and I'm noticing who you're working with, and the names are getting bigger and or more familiar. Maybe we're just swimming more in the same circles, but you're definitely, I'm seeing more and more of you. You know, Annie sent me a clip earlier today. I'm like, yep, saw that on Twitter like an hour and a half ago.
I know.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's trying to figure out how to be seen on these platforms has been a challenge, but no, I appreciate that.
So for the people that are newbies,
mm-hmm.
Can you using your own words, like, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So you mean like just about like my production or?
Yeah, everything, whatever you, tell us a little bit.
And I have so much trouble pronouncing both S's. Well, actually, there's three S's, but the two in the middle. It's Souls, plural, Scream.
Yes.
And it just gets run together. So apologies.
No, you're good. You're good.
Right. Right. It sounds like we're saying Soul Scream. You screams. So,
You can put that however you like. It's all good. So a little bit about me. So I I developed a foot fetish first, and then, well, foot fetish and tickle fetish around the same time. You know, it was like most kind of origins with that, you most of us kind of realize kind of young, or, you know, somewhat young, oh shoot, like I might be interested in this stuff or paying more attention to it. And then, you know, once you grow into an adult, then all of a sudden sometimes things happen. so then you're like, oh, okay, that's what that is. So anyway,
they're like, that's happening. Well, that's new down there.
I think it moved. But but anyway, so yeah, so I've been a fetish producer going into my fourth year. It all started with COVID, believe it or not. I was I did like real time sessions, so like foot worship and tickling. Was how I actually started in fetish. I had no plans on doing any producing or anything like that. But then COVID happened, and well, between COVID, meeting Stacy and Ed and those the people around the foot parties, like all that stuff, kind of then pushed me over. You know, once you know the party stopped during COVID and all that stuff, and then Stacy's like, "Why don't you film content?" And I was like, "Who the hell's gonna want to watch what I do?" And the rest is history.
Many of us, apparently. You know what, though? We're a product of COVID, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Top Toes?
Yeah. The only thing that's different is we're not doing anything where we need to bring other people into the same room with us. So that's where it's kind of odd that you got into filming content during COVID. But I guess, you know, if you're talking about a small group of people that you know, you can test, you can,
yeah,
proper precautions
was possible.
We all developed these pods, right? And then Top, if you and I were local to each other, we would have been in the same pod probably.
Yeah,
true enough.
Yeah. So
talking about your content, Soul Scream, you're not only you're producing it,
yeah,
you're filming it, or I assume a lot of times tripod filming it,
yes,
because you're also usually in it.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Usually, always varies. Do you, what's the story there?
Say that again. I apologize.
I said, is it usually you're in your content, always in your content?
So excuse me. When I started, I was pretty much in the content, because it would be me. Usually I'd hire, it was just one model that I'd hire, and then we'd do scenes. Then they were mostly like session or very simple kind of scenes. So all you needed was like I just needed a tripod, and I put my camera on there. And then I started with one camera, and now whenever I do tripod shooting, now I have three, mainly just so I don't have to move around so much, but yeah.
Oh, so then you can play around with it and cut back and forth.
Yeah, then I'll just jump through cuts if I'm blocking one area or what have you. Because pretty much the way that I worked is I do something and I'd be like, man, all right, where were the inefficiencies? And so that's kind of how that developed. But these days I have a camera person, whether it's Stacy I use another guy who goes by Shady Cactus. He's not on social media, but sometimes he'll film for me or you know, maybe like a local producer who's available when I need it. So now I usually will have someone running camera, or I'll run it myself. I'd say now I'm probably might be in like 50% of the stuff I shoot these days, and then I'm filming the rest of it. So
awesome.
That's going to be hard to be in it and film it,
yeah,
and direct it and write it, because your stories are getting more and more complex these days, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it. I love it, but.
Oh, I appreciate that. I mean, I don't do any scripts. I pretty much will start with, okay, here, like, I'll give them, like, the outline. Here's this situation. Go. And I've been very fortunate with a lot of the talent, which obviously none of the, this Soul Scream would not exist without the talent. So I just want to make sure that's on the record. Because nobody's logging in to see me solo. I'll tell you that. but in all
I'm seriousness, sure people would. It would just be a different audience.
Well, fair enough.
But this is true. This is true. Yeah.
Fair enough. But no, it's just like a lot of the people that I shoot with, they have like, you know, they have their own personalities and stuff like that. So I just kind of give them, you know, maybe just like a couple sentences, hey, this and that, and then boom. And then we just go. And from there, it's pretty much just kind of like, you know, ad-libbing in terms of what happens.
All right. So I got one question and then something kind of an open-ended. So this, you have your own studio, right? This is all at your space.
Yes. Everybody comes to you. All at my expense. Yeah.
No, I said space, but I didn't know all of your expense as well. So, okay,
that you, too, yeah.
unless you can hook up with somebody who's local or going to be local, are you're actually like paying to fly models down and such too?
So as of now, that is in 2024, I do plan on flying models in. For the most part, I would try. So I use my own kind of where Stacy and I are staying. We'll shoot here sometimes, mm-hmm. but I'll go and rent a space, like something like that to shoot sometimes. It just kind of depends on the situation, but pretty much all of that, like I'm renting a spot or it's being shot at my place. That's usually what I've been doing.
Mm. And I know for some of your out-of-state models, you've been lucky enough that to catch them the week when they're in town for the foot party.
Exactly. Yeah. I try to, usually that's when I also do my multi-model shoots, just because quite a few of them I've either shot with before, they kind of know how I do things. So it makes it pretty easy to do more kind of intricate and bigger setups when you're working with people that you're familiar with and who are familiar with you, you know.
Some of them ever come to you with like, hey, I want to shoot this scenario, or it's always your vision?
So right now it is my vision that I shoot. I'm an odd duck. Like I will be happy. Like I've helped some producers before, you know, usually running camera, something like that when they need it. But like, I know how to shoot my stuff and I'll do the best I can with others. But like, I don't hold myself out as someone who's like, oh yeah, you know, like I will help out wherever, whenever, but it just, I guess it's a confidence thing. So I don't really put myself out there in terms of like, hey, you know, these are the things that I can do, you know. I don't know if that answers the question, but.
But he's so modest. He's so modest.
But yeah, so that's just kind of where I hang on there. I'm not opposed to it. It just, but I'd say a lot of times I hire the talent, and then, you know, part of hiring the talent is that you get to keep the content, and then you pay them for their time. So that's what I do like 99% of the time. If there's any collaborations, usually the model is always the one that kind of drives that.
Cool.
Do you have, what's your favorite type of content to shoot?
So I actually like, when I first started, I did mostly session content. So there's no script or anything. It's like, okay, like one of the things for me, like I have a tickle fetish, but for me, I don't need the over the top. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not how I do things. I want it to basically be off. So I just tell the model, hey, if it tickles, you know, then react accordingly. If it doesn't, then I'll try to, you know, figure out, you know, I'll do what I can to make it, you know, to see if I can, you know, make you laugh. And then if you're not ticklish, we'll just move on to a different scene, you know? So that's how I do things. You know, every producer is different, but
I
definitely wanted to go with authentic. So that and foot worship, where literally I was just worshiping their feet. That was it, that I used to do. And then I added in trampling and some other things, mainly because like, if I'm booking a model for 2 hours, tickling her for 2 hours straight is not a smart thing to do.
Right. You know, oh my gosh. No.
So it's like, I'm not going to do that. And And, you know, like, there's only so many ways you can worship a foot, you know, like, I'll do it all day, but it doesn't necessarily mean I can create a bunch of sellable content that way. So that's right. Where the other stuff came in, the trampling, the humiliation and things like that. But I'm finding that I enjoy those, especially like some of the fetish stories a lot. Whereas before I didn't necessarily think that would be the case. You know, so now, you know, rather than it being like, oh, this is just like a byproduct of this. Like, I love the entire process now, and I look forward to the kind of story-based scenes, even if I'm not worshiping feet, even if I'm getting trampled, or even if I'm just behind the camera, you know? So it's
I've been loving the storyline stuff I've seen more from you lately. And it's funny because I want to compare it to what one would call the cheesy porn scenario. Yeah. Oh, here comes the pizza delivery guy. Here comes the postman or whatever.
The guy fixing the coffee machine. Plumber.
Yeah.
But I say it with a certain love of that. It harkens back to something that really is part of our shared reality. You know, that is what so many of us think of when we think of quote unquote cheesy porn, but we all know it. And there's something endearing about it and just makes what you're doing so seem like it's fun. Like everybody's having
fun. But here's the thing though, like when you're talking about, and I'm not saying Souls Screams stuff is cheesy porn.
No, I'm not trying to say that whatsoever.
Right.
No,
but I'm saying like when you think of a story of storyline like basic porn, right, with a storyline, that's what you think of course. But it's different, I think, when it's tailored to a specific fetish. Like, I mean, it's like there's not that much like foot fetish porn out there or tickle, you know, content out there. I think it's different because
much of the fetish content doesn't have storyline. That it's refreshing that you're doing
right because they're thinking stuff. Like. It's usually foot fetish porn is like 2 seconds of it sort of that you just kind of pass through. There's never like a whole story where it's just about this person that's going to get tickle tortured or, you know, foot worshipped. There's almost not, I mean, I don't know. I at least not that I find. Like if I'm looking up foot fetish porn, there's always like banging and there's like, you know, intercourse and there's like all this crazy make out and then there's like 2 seconds of foot worship and then that's it. And then that's what they call, you know, foot fetish porn.
Yeah, so. There's definitely you know, hitting the keywords and stuff like that. For me, and I appreciate y'all's kind words. For me, I think of a lot of times I think of like scenarios relatively like, okay, this isn't outside the scope of possibility. Yeah, I'd have to stretch my imagination, but I did one that I really enjoyed doing. It was like it wasn't necessarily like a cucking scene per se, but like where you know, my girlfriend in the scene is not into foot, like having her feet touched. And it's actually funny, the model, her boundaries had changed since we first shot to where that she doesn't receive foot worship from men anymore, right? Which is completely fine. Everybody's, you know, to be respected. But I decided to use that as a way because I, you know, obviously I'm not going to try to worship someone's feet who doesn't, you know, where that's the boundary. But I decided, you know, with her permission, I decided, why don't we use that as part of this story? So it's like a situation where she's my girlfriend, but she doesn't want her feet touched. But she invites her friend over to kind of see if she'd be open to me, you know, carrying out at least that part of my fantasy, you know, and see if she can, you know, kind of handle that. So it's like stuff like that is what I'm trying to shoot for. Not, I mean, there are some that are kind of more tropic. Oh, I'm the pizza delivery guy. But then in other cases, it's like, hey, you know, most people will just kind of fast forward to the fapping material and that's fine. And there's plenty of, but at the same time, it's like, okay, the story has some type of like, you know, there's something more to it, I guess, for those that care about that. And the ones that don't, then they'll find what they need to within the content too.
I think you're full, like you're filming fantasies, really.
Yeah.
Foot fetishists fantasies and tickle guys fantasies, things that they're not. I mean, we get that so much, right, Top? Like, so many people that kind of message us and in our chat group tell us about their fantasies. And I mean, it's almost, unless they specifically hire somebody for that to happen, it's probably not going to happen. You know, like, no one in a restaurant is going to whip off their foot and be like, suck it. You know, like, it's not going to happen. So you're filling that need. And I love that. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely fun, and it's literally like a lot of the ones I went through a lot of the fantasies that I've had, and then like just stuff that comes up or things or whatever that kind of becomes the content. And it's been really fun to see all kinds of different ways that you can inject one fetish or the other or both, and you know, and tell a story. And it gives the talent some opportunities. Like, a lot of times I'll look and see, oh, what are they known for, and then try to incorporate that, which they seem to like. So, you know, and it comes out pretty well too, because it's more of them being authentic, at least to how they see themselves or whatever. And you know, it just makes things pretty fun, in my opinion.
So you're doing your model, your business model is pay the models,
mm-hmm.
keep the content.
Mm-hmm.
So where and how are you selling your content?
So I sell on my main clip store is my main sales channel is Clips for Sale right now. Mm-hmm. I do have a subscription site that I do a terrible job of advertising. But I have a subscription site and just a couple other outlets on Minivids and like Loyal Fans. But my main store.
Soul Scream. We are 100% explicit. We are beholden to no one.
Mm.
And we are asking you to pimp yourself. So give actual names and we will also put these in the show link.
Oh,
please. Sure. This is the sell. Whore yourself out right now.
This is where you pimp yourself out.
So basically, thank y'all. So the easiest thing to do is just go to, if you go to Soul Scream Experience, which is SOLES and then Scream. And then Experience, EXPERINCE. If you go there, that basically will show you every avenue I've got. I find that a little bit easier because, unfortunately, as things change and you got to move platforms and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Yep.
So, Full Scream Experience.
Perfect. That'll be linked up on the show links for everybody who didn't have a pen right now.
Thank you all.
We do know that all too well, though, having to reinvent yourself
stupid
fucking platforms.
You've got to have your own links page that you can edit on your own, mm-hmm. Whether it be a link tree or I have my own sites. And it's absolutely necessary nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just register your own domain name and have your own site, even if it is just a list of links to everything else you do.
Yeah.
Hey, so let's take it back just a little bit.
Sure.
Did you, and I mean, I don't know exactly how long you've been in the fetish world, uh-huh. right? But let's go back to like before you ever even had your first like live session,
okay.
like for your own personal, did you ever think that like this would be what you'd be doing?
No, not in my wildest dreams did I think. So full on disclosure, I would be considered prudish by anyone's standards. I didn't even watch, not because of any particular reason, but I didn't even really watch porn at all of any type. I might look at like pictures of feet or something here and there, but nothing beyond that. So to think that I would go from that, you know, to being that, you know, kind of being that way to now getting into parties and just, yeah, you know, having my likeness all over the place is just unfathomable. Like, I used to do everything I could to avoid cameras, like, you know, just disappear in the background, you know, show up just long enough to where people, know you were somewhere and then jet. So that was me. Like, some of my vanilla friends that know that I do this or like that have known me for, you know, 10 plus years, like they're like, it's almost like you're a completely different person than what I remember. So yeah, a lot has happened, but a lot of that growth has been thanks to being around fetish.
So what kind of advice would you give to someone that's just now discovering their fetish?
I would,
and is having a hard time like dealing with it, because we get that a lot. Like, yeah. We get that.
No, I get it. For me, I will say that, and this isn't the case for everybody, I hope it's not, but for me, it took me going through some of the hardest points of my life that were not necessarily directly related to fetish, but I realized that was a part of the reason, the shame that some people experience, right?
Right.
Was part of this cocktail. And it wasn't a huge part. There was a lot going on in my life, but that was like one of the parts that I had to kind of come to terms with and realize, like, hey, it's not that bad. So I would say, you know, like in this day and age, you've got, you know, I guess like some of the things, what is it, like FetLife and things, basically just trying to find like a community of people, whether it be through forum or whatever, and just kind of see, like, the more you get on there and communicate, the more like, oh, okay, this isn't so weird after all. I mean, now, like, for me, it was like I thrust myself in, my journey was really was kind of long, but basically, like, it started with, oh, there's this thing called cuddle parties, to all of a sudden there's like these other things that come up, and then eventually I find out that there's this thing called a foot party, and then I force myself to go to that, and then next thing you know, it, you know, just being around an environment where people are open to that side of the realm, even if it's like thinking about like FetLife, you know, they have groups, even if it's not something you're into, just being around people who are into kinkier stuff helps kind of normalize that process. Now, everybody can go at different speeds, but there's forums and things like that to kind of ease your way into it, so you just don't throw yourself in the deep end.
Scare the bejesus out of yourself. Yeah.
No, don't do what I mean. Yeah. Completely, you know, go to a sex party when you haven't been at any party to begin with. You know, like that was
right.
You don't want to necessarily do that. Just, you know, if you're, if you came from my background, just because it's a lot really quick, you know.
Yeah. It's gonna push you in the other direction. Like, oh my God, no, this is not me. Yeah, no.
Even just jumping on FetLife is can be a bit daunting.
It can, yeah, it can. You
know? It's like,
there's so many terms, and there's so many almost clicks.
Yeah,
that are, if you don't have somebody kind of guiding you, can be really overwhelming.
It really can, yeah.
Yeah, so. I mean, luckily you have things like the Oh Those Toes podcast.
Absolutely.
And the Texas Foot Parties to help you with that. You know?
Well, I think the takeaway that I'm hearing in this is the interpersonal connection. You know, to paraphrase, you said something basically like, get out there and find I think you said you started a cuddle party, you know, find a place where kinky people are gathering, find a munch, something like that, even if the topic or the thing isn't necessarily your fetish.
What is a cuddle party?
So let me back up. I didn't start it, but I just happened so I'm trying to, you know, obviously I know we don't have a lot of time, but so just the real quick and dirty version is I had a few suicidal events, right? So I go through that. I go through, intensive outpatient and all that stuff. And I come out and I'm in this daze and I'm like, okay, clearly I have a lot of shame about a lot of things and I don't like myself and all these things. All right, so let's start. What are some of my areas to, you know, kind of improve now that I realize, all right, fine, I'm going to have to just, can, you know, fight each and every day to stay on this planet, so to speak. So it started with going to group therapy, which is something that was huge for me because I had issues communicating with women, specifically, not necessarily communication, but, you know, you guys don't have a lot of time, but,
no, by all means,
but basically, yeah. There's this thing where, because I have a loud voice and because I have a bitchy resting face and all these things, it can tend to make people uncomfortable, especially if we've never communicated before, right? So, like, I knew that about myself. It's feedback that I just got at various points. So I was hyper aware of it. So it started with going to group therapy. And then while I was doing that, a friend of mine had said, hey, did you know that there's this catalyst that you may want to see? Because I was touch-starved. That was the other thing is, you know, I hadn't had much intimacy. I didn't know about sessions and things like that at the time. So, but also didn't have intimacy because I didn't seek it out because I didn't think I was worthy. You know, all those good things. So,
yeah.
So what I did, so one of the things that helped was like, okay, if I know that I'm just going to speak frankly. If I know I'm a piece of shit, then how do I still get intimacy, even though I know that it is a struggle? This is just how my head was. I'm not saying this is how I feel today, but this is how I felt then. How do I get intimacy and but still like have somebody willing to do that? And me being a finance guy, I was like, oh, okay, maybe I can find someone, you know, and you know, maybe I can just make it transactional, right? And so my friend tells me about this catalyst. I go and see her, and that's literally all it is. We basically just were in the same space in cuddling. There was no tickling. There's no foot worship. That's just all. And that process, her name is Sasha Rose Love, that process changed my life. And we went on from there and did some other things. But it was her. She was the one that was running, cuddle parties. And I didn't know that was a thing. So I went to my first one, and then I went, and she also ran a sex party as well, or the all-adult play party, same thing. And so I was like, fine, I'm going to go to both of those, and I'm just going to force myself to stay there as long as I can, right? So if you could think of Batman showing up at a cuddle party, that's pretty much what I was. Not because people thought I was a hero, but because I was freaking scary. It wasn't because I wanted to be, it's just that's what my face looks like. Well, my face looks like that at all times, but specifically when I'm really nervous, right? So I like to say I survived the cuddle party. I didn't actually touch anybody, but I was there and observed, which is fine. And then the sex party, I probably survived for a good 15 minutes before I was routed. I couldn't take it anymore, you know, because I was just like, all these people are having these connections and I can't do that. I can't. And I'm not even talking about sex, just whatever it is that they were doing. And I was like, I can't. Anyway.
Like you're an outsider. You're just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just okay. Like, I don't deserve this. Not necessarily in the fetish. Ooh, I really like. No, it was like, no, this was where I was at. Self-hatred is an all-time high. So anyways, and I actually forgot your question, so I apologize. Anyways, it just kind of went from there. And the next, you know, there were foot parties and I started getting more comfortable. And then, yeah, just it just kind of took off from there. But it was literally like maybe a 3-year process before I got to the point to where I was like, okay, I feel comfortable with who I am. But all of that journey and, you know, realizing what my fetish was and all these things really helped get me to that point.
So the original question was what a cuddle party is.
Oh, that's all
right. Which you absolutely explained okay. What that was.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
But also, how inspiring is that? I mean, what an inspirational story. Because Top Toes and I, almost on a daily basis, get this kind of stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. Not the Souls Scream that you are now, yeah, but that person that you were back then, you know, we get that a lot where there's like this, you know, self-deprecating, you know, words and things and feelings and shame, really. And, you know, how do I cope with this? How do I deal with this? How can I get somebody to accept this without feeling bad? And, you know, so we make whatever little suggestions we can. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are just to Top Toes. And I just had this conversation, right? Top Toes, where there's a couple of people where they're just like, no, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. No, I don't want to do that. It's like the kind of the Eeyore thing going on, you know, Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh.
Everybody's
like, no, everybody hates me and no one's going to like me and no one's going to cuddle me. And you
that
know.
Sounds exactly where Soul Scream is, but everybody's got their point where they discover or maybe are just desperate enough to take that act of bravery, that leap of faith.
It was desperation for me, by the way.
I do feel like I sort of gleaned that from your story. But yeah, you gotta get to that point when you just you've created that reason to take that leap, and it's a scary leap.
Well, I just think you any type of growth, in any capacity, in any way, requires someone being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You have to put yourself in uncomfortable situations so that you can grow from it and then eventually be comfortable with it or be able to take the next step. So not that any of us are therapists here or anything.
Speaking specifically, and I'm just being real with y'all, I obviously hope nobody, you know, thinks that, oh, it has to be this way. But for me, it was literally like, I was going to make the choice to kill myself at one point, right? So
we definitely don't endorse that.
And I don't endorse that. But what I get,
and I'm so sorry that you ever at any point in your life felt that way.
No, I appreciate that. But I guess what I'm saying is like, for me, and I'm, and this is just me, but it's like, if I was going to go to that extent and I'm still here, and at this point, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why I'm glad that I'm still here. But the whole thing is like, if I was going to the point of doing that, then I can at least try these things to see if maybe they'll help me. Does that make sense?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's it's like,
right, if you're going to go to that extreme.
Yes. So if it's like, yeah,
let's try.
So it's like, right. So, and I'm not saying that for everybody. I'm just being real with you guys here. That was my experience. So that was what, so it wasn't me being, oh, like I wasn't being brave or anything like that. It was just like, I needed to find a way to either, I wanted to prove myself, is this shame justified, right?
Right, right. Okay.
And I realized that it wasn't. And I think for a lot of people, without jumping into their heads, it's not justified. But absolutely, we have to kind of figure that out for ourselves.
And the thing is, and while I will never say don't seek professional help, mm-hmm, I will endorse therapy and things of that nature.
And I did that. There is therapy as well, by the way. So yeah, the multi-pronged approach. Yeah,
I'm glad. But there is so much out there that says that kink and fetish and BDSM has its therapeutic mark on a person.
Yeah.
Not as an alternative to, but it's amazing how much people can find their own therapy in the kink community.
Yeah.
And finding in the kink community. Maybe it is because so much of how much you step outside yourself and how much you have to step outside your comfort zone.
It's acceptance, right? Yeah. It's accepting yourself and you know, eventually loving yourself, is that's what it leads to. So I'm just grateful that you can go from that to what you're doing now and who you are now. And I don't know, maybe even helping, you know, some of those people. I mean, I'd
like to think this is a very helpful episode for some of our listeners, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I mean, I like, and I'd be remiss if I wouldn't, you know, it for people like, even, I mean, obviously people like yourselves, Stacy has been instrumental in helping me, you know, just throughout life. She's my girlfriend also, so just in case.
We're talking, shout out Phoenix Stacy. We've mentioned her many, many times.
So, but
on the podcast.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you know, it was definitely a collective effort, but my journey to meeting her, to meeting Ed, to meeting you guys, like, none of that would have happened had I not, you know, like, you know, our journeys take us in interest in weird ways, and sometimes we don't necessarily know why we're doing the things that we're doing, you know, or like, you know, why things happen the way they do. But I will say that I wouldn't change anything. And I do hope that, you know, whether this episode helps, or clearly you guys are doing a phenomenal job in helping your user base. And
thank you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's awesome. I mean, you know, like, obviously, like, I produce, I, you know, I make content and I sell it, but it's so much more than that for me. You know, I'm also like the people that I shoot with, the talent that I shoot with, I definitely want what's good for them, and, you know, and just for the industry in general, because it can be a really good place, but it's just kind of how you make, you know, you, it can become what you want it to be, you know, just by how you treat people and such. So
I really enjoy, I think mostly on Twitter, because, you know, all of us avoid Instagram these days.
Yeah,
but
no,
I really do enjoy your tweets, or what are they called now? If they're not tweets.
I call those tweets, and I still call it Twitter.
Posts? Yeah. Oh, God. Twitter, okay.
Yeah. It's posts on.
Well, you know, your ex tweets, where you're giving sort of pointers or tips as to, like, the proper etiquette of doing some things. And you also pose these really thought-provoking questions. It seems like you just want, like, people's opinion or someone's advice or someone's point of view. But it really, what it does is it creates, it allows other producers or people who might want to produce or model, or, you know, just kind of get into it, or the really startling, like, it allows them to think. And it's an excellent example. I can't think of a better example for anyone.
Yeah. Well, I think
to follow, honestly.
The best of everyone still remembers and still honestly treats the foot fetish community as a community. And Soul Scream is definitely among those.
Yeah. I mean, there's respect and courtesy and kindness, and, I mean, you're just a good person.
What's that?
I can't remember what else to say to that.
We're always throwing help, and he's always throwing help. And what's that old bad cliche? A rising tide lifts all boats.
Well, yeah. I definitely believe that. And a lot of times, like, I'm the kind of person that is racked with so much self. Like, I know that I don't know everything. And a lot of times when I pose questions, it's because something that I've been thinking about or trying to figure out, am I not necessarily, like, you know, we all think for ourselves, but, you know, it's like, is there another angle to this, that, or the other that I hadn't considered? Like, I can't tell you how many mind shifts that I've had based off the feedback that I get to those questions or questions that others pose. Cause I mean, I'm wandering around just trying to do the best I can. Like most of us are, I don't have all the answers. So that's usually why I'll ask, because, like, somebody...
Yeah, but you have the best intentions.
Was that?
But you have the best intentions.
Thank
you. And I think, you know, I don't know. I just think that there's a lot of you know, the community can get tainted. And so there are a lot of producers out there that produce great content that are just not very ethical in many different ways. And, you know, yeah, yours is definitely some, you're right. You're like, okay, well, I don't know everything, but it's coming from a good place. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think that matters more in every aspect, not just as a producer, but that matters more than anything. I think the intentions and going forward with empathy and sympathy and thoughtfulness, so, I think is
so. Huge. You know, I would say there are folks that share the sentiment, but at the end of the day, I oftentimes will. Because I mean, I shoot with talent, right? That's you know, I hire them and we shoot and things like that. But it's like, I want them to know that, like, even though we're shooting, they're people too. You know, there's people behind. You know, just, not just oh, I'm hiring this person, I'm gonna treat them however, whatever. You know, it's just like, no, I respect you as a person. I hire you and I try to create the environment in which you can speak freely. We don't shoot anything you don't want to shoot. If you need a break, you get a break. Whatever it is that you need, like, I do think that, I mean, I do try to make the set, and I do believe that, you know, talent first before anything else.
I think you do a really good, sorry.
That's all. That's, I was pretty much just going on a tangent. So
I think you do a really good job actually just kind of showing that by accident, because you do like to occasionally tweet some of your behind the scenes stuff, or you'll tweet a little snippet of a video that's produced and then append a little behind the scenes to it.
Yeah.
And we can see, you know, how, when the camera's not rolling, how you're reacting and what's, you know, who you are. And it's really cool.
I mean, for lack of a better word. So what does a person have to do to work with you? Like, say there's a talent out there that would like to work with you.
Oh, wow.
What are the requirements?
So I'm just like, oh, who would want to work with me?
Oh my goodness.
A lot of people, everybody. I know, oddly enough.
So pretty much what, just through trial and error, what I've learned is, first of all, just have a solid grasp of what your boundaries are, right? And be able to communicate those. Like, I don't shoot like explicit stuff. You know, there's nothing wrong with explicit stuff, but I don't really shoot that stuff. So, but a lot of times, whether it's like, you know, are you okay having, you know, me, you know, worship your feet, or, you know, tickling, will you be able to, you know, just like the, you know, just like kind of letting me know up front. So like just the communication, knowing oneself in the communications, pretty much right on there. Other than that, I'd just say I have a intake form that I like people to fill out, because pretty much it answers all the questions or asks all the questions I'd normally ask. Like being ticklish, like my content's tickling, so being ticklish and open to it would be ideal. Obviously, like, you know, I shoot foot fetish content, so, you know, like, and let me take this point to say, like, even if, like, for example, you know, someone's feet, like, may not kind of fit what I shoot, doesn't necessarily mean, like, you can't, you know, work as a model, because I know sometimes people will take one thing or the other, so it's just, like, you know, just kind of being open with that. And, you know, just, yeah. And really just kind of applying, or not applying, but, you know, just putting, you know, kind of filling out the form there. And then, you know, we just kind of go from there.
Yeah. So in the much more literal sense, if somebody is thinking about, hey, I'd love to shoot, mm-hmm. or have SoulScream shoot me, how should they be reaching out to you? Is that form on your website?
Yeah. Or? So if they go to soulscreamexperience.com, there's a link, that's just like I think it says something like, you know, if you're a model or if you're interested in shooting with me, you know, it's like an intake form. They just fill that out. And then, and yeah, and then I just get in touch with them from there. excuse me. Having a social media presence is extremely helpful, because that is, like, I like to tag the models. It makes it so much easier. And then also it gives the model an opportunity. Like, there's so many, like, when it comes, like, I can provide references, and usually when they ask, I'll, you know, provide the most recent people that I shot with. But on Twitter, like, if they have an active X account in this case, like, anyone is a reference. So that's kind of what I like about that. And then they'll retweet too. So that's also helpful from a marketing standpoint. And then I would just...
Well, yeah, it's cross-promotion too.
Exactly.
So people should have, yeah.
And then now I pretty much shoot with people who... just be serious about it. You know what I mean? Like, and what I mean is, like, you know, as long as they have like a social media presence of some sort or a store, because like I one thing you'll run into if you shoot with people that, you know, aren't necessarily experienced or not really in like the fetish game is they can get overwhelmed very quickly. Right. And like they, you know, like I, like, you know, it is, you know, it is a job, right? So like,
yeah.
So like just kind of approaching it from that standpoint, is just very important, regardless of whether you want to shoot with me or, you know, if you want to have or like work and be hired by producers and stuff like that, it's just really crucial to kind of look at it from that standpoint. Of like, yeah, you know, I'm you know, I'm down to do this. I did my research, you know, stuff like that. Because it just makes things a lot easier. And then that way the potential model doesn't, you know, put them, you know, find themselves in a position that they didn't necessarily bargain for.
Right.
Yeah.
To be a professional. Yeah. Be a professional. Right.
Absolutely.
As much as you can be. Absolutely.
So as we're gonna wind this up, I just wanna ask, is there anything, any project you've got in the pipe about to come out or that you're working towards? Maybe you've got some models booked. What's one project that you got that you're a little excited about that you want to
implement? So I have a multi-model shoot actually on Friday. I have a couple of concepts, one of which harkens to a very, very kind of famous TV show. And okay.
Oh.
When is this going to air?
This is the 31st.
Okay. So
yeah, Wednesday.
2024.
Yeah. Okay, the 31st of...
Wednesday. 2 days from now.
Okay, 2 days from now. Okay.
Yeah.
So because it's airing 2 days from now, I can't necessarily tell you what it is because it's supposed to be a surprise. Okay.
But you can tell us when approximately you think it would actually hit your clip store.
It will hit my clip. That clip is going to be priority number one. So it should hit my clip store by Friday.
Not Friday.
My apologies. By Sunday, it should hit my clip
store. Sunday. So
this weekend.
Let's just say the first week of February 2024, because people listen to this all the time at different times. So we'll just use hard dates instead. So by the first week of February 2024, this...
I'm super excited.
Harkening to a piece of classic television. Color me intrigued.
Yeah. I'm really excited about it. We bought all the props for it. Hopefully they fit. So
nice.
But yeah, I'm really excited about it. I mean, people will. I haven't seen anything done like it yet. So that was part of the reasons why I'm like hell bent on trying to get this thing out ASAP. But yeah, so I'm really excited about that. It's gonna have a total, including myself, a total of 8 people.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's gonna be a doozy.
You know, I know we're running out of time here, but I didn't get to ask all the questions I wanted to ask. Like, I didn't get to ask any like technical questions. Like, I wanted to ask you about, like, you know, camera usage and editing, you know, and I wanted to ask, you know, some stuff about the models and shooting day, you know, the day of shooting and how to prepare and all this stuff. So we're just going to have you come back sometime.
Oh, I'd love to. I
mean,
I'm always down. Annie, you know, I love you. And Top Toes is great seeing, or I was really happy to see in the flesh. And obviously I love the stuff that you put out there, and you know, just the community that you guys have built. It's great. So to be on this show is really a high watermark. I don't do a lot of podcasts.
I appreciate you doing this so much.
Being on y'all's for sure.
So if anyone would like to meet a Soul Scream in person, you can do that this Saturday. Is there still time to register for the Texas
Yes.
party?
Yes, one can register. Excuse me, one can register up to the day of the event. So there's
okay.
Okay, good.
So you'll still have 3 days to register by the time this airs. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And that party is Saturday, that would be the 3rd of February, right?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So
hurry
up and register if you want to meet Soul Scream.
I am fairly looking Scream, forward.
Have your feet worshipped by Soul Scream? What if you do? What is your thing in the sense?
If they're a model, then yeah, that could happen.
Yeah, if you're a guest, you're a boy, and you're a guest. No, probably gonna happen.
The models for this event are already pre-planned.
Right? Hey, can we mention the Soul Train? I mean, we just have to mention before we go.
I have witnessed it. Live and various taped versions of it. Yes.
Yeah. It gives the ladies a opportunity to beat the crap out of me. So they enjoy walking on me, jumping on me, all those things.
Okay. But do you?
Was that?
Do you enjoy it?
Oh, do I enjoy it? Yes, I enjoy that they enjoy it. Is really what it is.
Got so, it. Okay.
Yeah. Because you get a look on their face and stuff like that as they're inflicting pain upon me. Oh yeah, what isn't there to like?
I mean, okay, so but let me just paint this picture before we go. Okay, so there's sweet little Soul Screams lying on the floor, and then an entire train of women just go around in circles and take turns stomping, jumping, and stepping. And half of the time I'm filming going, oh, not his beautiful face. And it really bothers me. So I'm like, don't step on him so hard. But I know that's the point, right? I'm just over there being a prude.
It's all good.
Lots of fun at the Texas Foot Parties with Soul Scream and Stacy and Ed and all of the models. And if you haven't been, you definitely should be making plans to go. I'm usually at the ones in Austin. Top Toes is in New York, so you know
Have a Texas Foot Party in New York, so
right. But they also have Dallas ones, so if you miss this one this weekend, be sure to check out the next one in Dallas.
Absolutely.
And if you do go, say hi to Soul Scream and watch him get stomped on.
Let him know that you loved him on the Oldest Toast podcast. That would be awesome.
Yes, absolutely. Right? Yeah. Great stuff.
All right. So, and we look forward to, watching the surprise. I mean, we look forward to the surprise.
Yeah. Just a little bit of time until the release of this great piece of film. So, thanks so much for this. It's been awesome. You've literally bared your soul, the other spelling, to us.
I appreciate that so much.
Yeah, hopefully I didn't get too serious on you guys. But
it's a part of your story. I love it. It's a part of your story. I love that you share that with us, and I really do appreciate that. Thank you.
But thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. So thank you. And thank you, as always, to all of our listeners and subscribers. We do this for you, or at least we say we do. We also do it so that we can talk to awesome people like Soul Scream.
Right.
And for those of you who found a reason to masturbate to our words and voices this whole time,
You are welcome.
Very welcome.
Bye.
Take care.